You're listening to the Mazingo Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Harold Mazingo. Just a brief introduction on myself. I was a 15th round draft pick by the New York Mets in the 2003 MLB draft. And I was a 6th round pick by the Kansas City Royals in the 2006 MLB draft. I spent 6 seasons pitching professionally, and now I own Mazingo Baseball. And I am very excited to welcome y'all to the Mazingo Baseball Podcast. Enjoy. Welcome to the Mazingo Baseball Podcast. We've got our first guest. I'm pretty pumped about this one. It was a no-brainer for me trying to figure out who the first guest would be. It's none other than Zach Kent. Zach played at Northumberland High School in Heathsville, Virginia. Then he went on to play at Virginia Military Institute, where he was drafted in the 9th round by the Texas Rangers in the 2019 MLB draft. During his junior year, he finished with 132 strikeouts in just 97 innings, which led the SoCon and was 7th in the entire country. That was also first in VMI's history for strikeouts in a season. And he finished in just 3 years, finished 3rd all time in the career strikeout department. Zach is someone that trained with me here at Mazingo Baseball, so I am beyond thrilled to have Zach on. So, Zach, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Harold. Appreciate the intro.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Zach, what I want to do here for all the listeners, this is going to be all geared towards player development from the young ages on through, okay?
Yep.
So I want you to talk about your own journey growing up in Northumberland, playing baseball in Northumberland County, and then the whole college recruiting experience.
All right. So, from Northumberland County, like Harold said, which is a really small area, not many people go on to play, past high school for the most part. I was just younger. I always loved to play. I never really played travel ball. Always played Little League and All-Stars. But every time my first year, I was playing with either, the minor league team or the major league team in Little League, I always sat the bench in All-Stars because I was younger, but I was still as good as the rest of them. And I think that's where it kind of started my passion for trying to get better. So I'd always get my father, and we would always throw and throw and throw until one day it started clicking where I was able to get guys out. And that transitioned into middle school baseball and high school baseball. And my freshman year in high school, I got cut from varsity, and I was heartbroken, and I was really angry at myself. I didn't think I was good enough, and I just wanted to prove that I could play varsity, and that's like the first time I really wanted to prove myself to someone, and especially the coach at the time. And so I was playing, and he eventually brought me up, but it was too late at that point. Didn't mean nothing to me. And the following year, I made the varsity team as a sophomore, got to play third base and get to pitch, but pitching was what I loved to do. And then probably around mid-season that year, I decided I wanted to play in college, and I had no clue where to start. I knew of travel ball, but I didn't know how to get on one of the teams or whatnot. I thought it was some kind of prestigious thing you had to get a part of, so started talking to some people and found a team called Richmond Braves. And they were really good. They were able to get me out in front of the people that I needed to be in front of. So I tried out for the Braves and got cut the first time. And I was like, dude, I must not be good at baseball, but everyone says I have a good arm. Why can't I make a team? So then my mom was like, you know what? They got another tryout in 2 weeks. Let's go to that and try out again. And I was like, Mom, they already cut me. Like, there's no point. I don't need to do that. She's like, no, just do it. So I decided to go try out again. This was a smaller tryout. The first one probably had 100 kids trying out. So I guess I really needed to stand out to be different and to make the team. And I was just kind of your average, high school kid. I was probably throwing 75 miles an hour. Had a breaking ball that was just – the only reason it broke was because of gravity. And so I tried out again, and there was 3 people that at the tryouts. And I was like, I got a good chance. They got to take one of us, right? So – I tried out and didn't hear nothing. And I was like, great, I'm not going to make it. And then the next day I get an email and it said, congratulations, you made the team. And I was like, finally. I made it. I knew that I made it, and I was going to be able to, you know, play in front of college coaches. And I kept on playing through that year. We won the state championship. I only pitched like 10 innings, nothing crazy, but won a state championship. And that's when I was like, I think I can do this. Because I was, you know, we went and played at Radford, and I already played in front of the coaches there, or what I thought at least. And I was like, I think I can do this. This is exactly what I want to do. So then my junior year, I was playing football, and I decided some people were going to Harold, and they were throwing harder. And I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to throw harder. So I went to Harold, and Harold, when I went in, I wasn't great. I didn't even know what a running gun was. I didn't know anything other than I just tried to throw the ball hard. I didn't know how to throw it hard. I just tried. And
I'm gonna jump in here real quick because this has been fascinating so far. I feel kind of bad that I didn't know some of this stuff.
No, it's okay.
But this has been awesome.
I've been cut more than 8
times. Right. So I want to ask you about something. I'm cheating a little bit here because we do know each other personally, and I'm familiar with the area that you're from. Okay, so I know that there was another pitcher on your high school team, which would be abnormal for this area, but who was a Division I prospect, okay? Yes. And I want to ask you –
Division I prospect.
Right. So I want to ask you about the influence of having him on your team. What kind of influence did that have on you in terms of trying to get to that same position?
Well, I never really looked at him and wanted to be like him, or he didn't really have an influence on me necessarily. Like, I wanted to be like him because he was only a year older. I always wanted to be the best on the team, and I didn't really know how to be the best on the team, but I knew I just needed to play better than everyone else. He was someone to look at, not really to try to strive to be. And I was like, all right, what does he do to get into, how did he get in that position? And I kind of asked him like, hey, what did you do? And he's like, I basically just played travel ball. So there was that. But also my sophomore year, there was also, I think there was two other people that were going to college to play baseball. And I thought I was just as good, if not better than they were. So I was like, if they have a chance to go, I want a chance to go because I think I'm better than them. And they were seniors and I was a sophomore. So that's kind of how that kind of went in the small town. Yeah. Everyone talked about that guy. And when I was able to get on the Braves, they were comparing me to him. And I was just sick and tired of people comparing me to him because I wanted to be better than he was.
Right, absolutely. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think most athletes can appreciate that right there. I asked you that to transition to this. I got to tell a story about that first time you did come in, right? So Zach, as he told you, he played football. What he didn't tell you was he was a quarterback. So he had played on a Friday night. I can't remember if you came in on a Saturday or Sunday
Saturday,
morning.
Next,
I'm not really.
Next day.
All right, the very next morning he came in. And I think we did running guns that day during the evaluation process. And I believe you were around 82, if I remember correctly, from the run.
Yeah.
And the other person he's talking about, we won't name drop here, but the other person he's talking about was the only athlete I had at the time capable of throwing 90 from the run and gun type of throw, right? And I told him, I said, hey, listen, like next time I saw him, I said, hey, listen, I just found the next kid that's going to throw 90 in here. And he said, oh, yeah, who is that? I said, yeah, you know him pretty well. He's one of your teammates. And he said, oh, yeah, who's that? And I said, Zach. He was in over the weekend. He's going to be the next one to throw 90 in here. So I just got to make sure I get that story out. Just the everything about, like, Zach, how tall are you? 6'3"?
Yeah, 6'3".
And how much did you weigh at that point in your life?
$150.
All right, so 6'3", 150. Very athletic, long, lean, athletic. And his movements were high quality. So it was just going to be a matter of time there. So. Now I'll be quiet and I want you to talk about the next part of the process, which would be the college recruiting process. How did all that play out? So you got with the Richmond Braves, who are a wonderful showcase organization, and then you got in front of these coaches, and how did the whole process play out for you in terms of getting to VMI?
Yeah, so my mother went to Liberty University, so I've always gone to that campus and watched football games. And they had just built the new stadium at the time. So they had like some kind of camp. Right as I got on the Braves, they had a camp for that. And I was like, all right, I guess this is what I want to go to Liberty. So I'm going to this camp. So I went to the camp and there were so many people that were so much better than me. And that was the first time I actually saw like someone that I thought was like, wow, they are way better than me. So then I saw what you needed to be a college level recruit. And so when I was with the Braves, I went to that camp. That was the very first time I was ever in front of true college coaches where I knew they were watching and evaluating me. And I knew I wasn't good enough. And then I kind of had that self-doubt again. And I was like, oh, geez, like these guys are throwing 88. I'm pretty sure I was throwing 78. And I was like, man, that's not going to cut it. So that was my junior year in the winter. And then I just started kind of, you know, going to you, Harold. And we kind of figured out, you know, I actually have to get some momentum to throw. So then I started transitioning that into that summer. My first summer was that going into my junior year that summer. And the Braves were able to put me in front of the coaches. And I was pitching and I was dominating. And I was probably, I think at that time I got up to like maybe 82 miles an hour, 83 on a good day. And but I was pitching really well in the summer. And nothing. Didn't hear anything. So that was my sophomore going into my junior year. And then that summer, didn't hear a word from anything, nothing from Liberty. I was like, great. Going into my junior year, you're supposed to be committed if you want to go to Division I. That's where I wanted to go. You're supposed to be committed. I'm like, why am I not committed? You know, I'm pitching really well. Well, I was throwing 82, 83, and that wasn't going to cut it. So they had this showcase kind of camp going to probably around July. Going into my junior year. And I was like, I'm going to go to this. It was the Richmond Braves hosted it, and they invited all the scouts or all the college coaches in Virginia pretty much to it from Division III to Division I. Well, I get there, and I look at the list, and I'm the very last person to throw. And I'm like, this is not good because no one's going to see me. It's a four-hour-long day. Everyone's going to leave. There ain't no way no one's going to watch me. So the time comes. And I go to get on the mound, and it's in like a little, it's like in a cage, not even like on a real mound. It's just on a plywood mound pretty much. And grab the ball. I look at the catcher, and there's like three people behind there. I'm like, well, there's three coaches that get to look at me, I guess. Better than zero. And I said, I'm not even going to try to throw a strike today. I'm just going to try to throw it hard because that's all they care about, right? All they want to see is velo. So I started throwing them as hard as I could. I can't remember how I did, but I don't think I did exceptionally well. Got done, grabbed my backpack, put my glove in there. I'm walking away, and my travel ball coach is, hey, Zach. This guy's like 6'5". I could barely understand what he's saying. He says something like, you know anything about VMI? And I said, huh? He said, VMI, you know anything about VMI? I said, the military school. He said, yeah, they like you. And I go, okay, that's cool. You want to go there? I was like, what are they? He said, Division I school. I said, yeah, sure. You know, send them, I'm interested. So I guess he tells them that I'm interested. And I go, and every single game I pitched at that summer, Travis Beasley was the pitching coach. He was there to see me pretty much every single time. And I was like, man, I got to have my A game. I got to throw as hard as I can. I can't let them see that I throw 78. You know, I don't know how hard I was throwing at the time. Can't let them know I throw 78. That'd be bad. So I'm just letting him rip. And I'm pitching well. He sees me after the game. Hey, man, good job. You look good. I'll see you next week. I said, geez, how many times do you need to see me, man? So he follows me all up and down the East Coast, get to the perfect game tournament. And I pitch there. And another coach saw me, Casey Dykes. And pretty much after that game, I pitched really well, and he just happened to see me throwing on my phone. And that's when I think, Harold, you might know it a little better than me, but I think that was like there when spin rate was just kind of getting into the scene and people were talking about it. I don't think they really knew what it was, but they knew the number was high, and I had a high spin rate, and he saw those numbers. I guess they had some kind of track man or something in that nature to track it at the time. And he was watching me on his phone as he was driving over, and he caught my last inning. And I guess that I did well, came out, and I'm just leaving, and he runs up and catches me. We talk for a few minutes, and then he says, "Hey, we're gonna give you a tour. You know, this is the VMI." I go, "All right, sweet, this is awesome. They're gonna offer me, I think." You know, in my head, I'm like, "This is awesome." So I get back from there, get the call. I go see VMI. Well, it's the summertime, and there is no classes going on, and there's no military stuff going on. So I just see this. this beautiful looking castle building where the barracks is, and they showed me the baseball field, and I was like, oh man, this is awesome. This is way better than a little 1A baseball field. And then pretty much as I'm leaving, I get a call and say, hey, we want to offer you to go to VMI. Here's some money, and let us know what you think. And I say, okay. He's like, you got 3 days. I was like, oh, okay. So I go back home, and I tell mom, I say, hey, you know, I got a scholarship from VMI. I don't know. It's a military school, blah, 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 blah. And I had a family friend that went there at the time, and I talked to him about it. And he's like, that place is going to – it's tough, man. I don't know if you'll be able to make it. You got to be tough. I'm like, well, all right. You don't think I can make it. I'm going to make it. I'm going. So then I called the Jonathan Hagerback, the head coach, and I said, let's do it. So that was the start of that. And I committed my going into my senior year in high school and was a Division I recruit. But I definitely didn't consider myself a Division I recruit. I think I just got lucky a lot of times in my recruiting because I don't think nowadays I was only 82, 84 on a good day. And I didn't think I was going to for sure be anything. That's for sure, going to VMI at least.
No, that's awesome. We're going to touch on that spin rate thing real quick. But before we do that, I want to ask you one important question. How many other schools were you talking to at the time? How many other schools were actively recruiting?
There was one other school, Pfeiffer, but that was about 9 hours from home, and it was basically a college in my hometown. There's nothing out there. They, you know, nothing. One gas station is all they had, and I was like, no, this is not it. But that was the only other place that I got an offer from, and VMI was it.
And what division are they?
So they
okay, so Division II. So just so we're clear, we're talking about a current player in the Texas Rangers organization that had one college scholarship offer at the Division I level coming out of high school. Okay, I just want to make sure everyone understands that point.
I think I was okay? Just projectable because I was tall and linking and was kind of pretty athletic at the time.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so we're going to touch on the spin rate thing. Zach, I'm sure you remember this. I had a device called a RevFire, and what we use for training at times. We just use it to record different things and measure spin rate, right? And what we had to do was we had to flip the ball up in the air until it beeped, and then it would get a recording on this little thing I wore around my neck, right? And then it did it in revolutions per second, and then I had to multiply everything by 60 to figure out revolutions per minute and write that stuff down, right? So I knew you were right that was brand new to the scene at the time, but just looking at everything, I knew that your spin rates were off the charts in terms of fastball and your breaking ball. And I said, holy cow, once this kid figures out how to throw with a little bit more velocity, like, this is a no-brainer. And so I remember I couldn't really tell coaches at the time, like, hey, this kid's got a high spin rate, because no one knew what in the world that was at the time, right? But I put in a call to Beasley. So he mentioned Travis Beasley. Travis was the pitching coach at Virginia Military Institute. He's the current coach at Lynchburg. And Bees, we got to get you on this too. You're coming on the show. You're coming on here. But I remember calling him, and I was really afraid at the time to even mention spin rate. I was like, I don't know if this guy knows what it is. I don't know if he's going to think I'm some kind of lunatic if I mention it. So we're just not going to talk about it. So I remember calling him and really trying to sell him just on your projectability without ever mentioning spin rate. And I actually, I guess about a year ago, I was having a conversation with the head coach at Wake Forest University. And we actually were talking about you specifically. He didn't know it, but we were talking about you specifically because he was talking about spin rate being such a big deal that they would rather recruit high spin guys over high velocity guys if they had the choice. And I told him, I was like, man, you know, this is funny. I had a kid coming out of high school, or at the time of recruitment, was like 82 to 83 type deal, but he was like 2,400 RPMs of spin. He was like, man, listen, if you ever get another one of them guys, you call me first. And I was like, man, why couldn't we get this set up for Zach years ago? It worked out. VMI was the right fit for you. But it was just a funny thing that came up. So I do want you to talk about VMI is a kind of a unique school and one that it's not for everyone, as you well know. But it is a school that has like this kind of negative connotation towards it, because of the military aspect, okay? So what I want you to do is I want you to talk about your experience at VMI, not only from the baseball standpoint, but the school itself, and just talk about it. And so if some people out there may be considering VMI, just kind of put those fears to rest or let them know this isn't the right place for you.
So VMI, it has a special way of weeding out people who don't belong in that program, whether it's baseball or if you go there just for school. So basically, I arrive on campus, and I'm like, this is awesome. You know, I'm playing Division I baseball. I'm telling everyone I know that that's here. I'm letting them know, you know, I'm playing Division I baseball. I'm on the baseball team. And so I get there. They take your phone, shave your head, give you a uniform, and you sit in line, and you're just staring at the back of the person's head for 3 hours, just standing there in the heat, in like a little hallway, and that's how it starts out. And I'm just waiting for my my name tag, pretty much. And I'm like, what have I got myself into? And they come over to me, and the cadre is the people that students at VMI that run the rat line, which is the freshman kind of first fall and a little bit of the spring semester you're in. Right until about February, the first weekend of February is usually when you break out. And so he comes up to me, and he asks me, why am I here? Well, I told him exactly why I was here. I said, I'm here to play baseball. And that wasn't suitable enough for him, so he needed to do push-ups. And he asked me, he said, no, why are you here? There's got to be another reason other than baseball why you're here. And I said, sir, I'm here for baseball. And then he made me do some more push-ups, and I get back up. And he goes to the next person, and he says to the next person, why are you here? And this person says, I want to, you know, serve in the military and become a second lieutenant in whatever branch I choose. And that guy loved it. He was like, that's what I'm talking about. You don't want to be like this guy who plays baseball. So when I got there, I've already done, you know, I'm telling everyone I play baseball, and apparently that's the wrong answer. Yeah, I'm not supposed to be here for baseball to a non-athlete. So, you know, this goes on for 9 days. You don't have a phone. You have no contact with what felt like the outside world, other than you do what you're told, and everything you say is probably wrong. And so, you know, you wake up in the morning, go on runs. I've been on campus for 9 days. I have not touched a baseball. I haven't thrown. I haven't done anything but military stuff, how to wear my uniform, how to march, how to carry my rifle, how to salute, how to shine my shoes, how to shine my brass. That's all I learned in 9 days. And I was like, I'm leaving this place. I was like, there ain't no way. We don't do baseball here. Like, how am I supposed to do baseball? There is no baseball. And so I call. On the fourth day, you get a 5-minute phone call. So I call my parents, like, Mom, I can't do this. And she was like, nope, you're going to do it. I'm not coming to get you anyways. She was like, you're there to play baseball. I was like, Mom, I don't think they know that I'm playing baseball here. Like, I think I'm with the wrong people. I think the baseball team does other stuff, because at the time, the football team
– oh, man, Zay, this is awesome
– was actually allowed to skip some of the stuff in order to go practice. So I was like, why is the baseball team not having this? I'm pretty sure there's a fall season. And I was the only other – I was the only baseball person in my company at the time, which was Alpha Company, and there's 8 other companies, and everyone else had at least another person. There were some people, there was another company that had maybe 4 or 5 guys. And I'm like, dude, I'm all by myself. Like, I was doubting my, it's been 9 days and I'm ready to leave. I'm like, this is not for me. I need to play baseball. Anyways, that first week is done, and school, you know, classes start, and I'm able to go to practice and play baseball. So, but it was still very tough, because you get minimal sleep, you get too much exercise, and then you have to lift on top of baseball, and you're throwing, and everything you do is wrong. So, you know, you're always getting yelled at. You're always, someone's in your face, and you can't react, because what are you supposed to do? You don't know anything, right? You've just been there for 9 days. So that continues, you know, and we're on top of playing baseball in the fall, playing, you know, 5 days a week, probably practicing 5 days a week, and playing games, inter-squad games on the weekend, is just brutal on the mind. Well, I had we probably had 15 to 18 guys committed coming into there. Well, after that first week, there was now 14. Let's say there was 18. There was 4 of them left within that first week. 2 of them didn't show up to campus, and 2 of them left during the rat line part. And then fall gets done, another 2 decide not to play. So now we're down to 12. Season comes. You play through the season. After that season, in my class, we had 18 guys. Now there's 9. So, I mean, our class got cut in half, and you finished your freshman year. So that's kind of how, like, the place isn't for everyone, and it's better that those guys weren't there, because it sucks when you hear someone else complain all the time, because you don't really want to hear that. You know, you're there for the school. You're there to play baseball. You're there to make your family proud, and it's very exhausting to hear people complain all the time. So that was good that VMI lets it kind of work its way out.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what a valuable life lessons you're learning there. And they apply perfectly to a game of so much failure like baseball, right? So that had to be just help you exponentially in terms of development as a human being going to a school like that. Yep, absolutely. So now you finish your freshman year. Let's talk about the transition baseball-wise. So we talked about the school, but let's talk about the transition baseball-wise from coming out of tiny Northumberland High School to now playing at Division I VMI, the actual baseball part of this. Let's talk about that transition for you.
Going into the fall playing, like I said, I was probably 82, 83. And all I hear from the upperclassmen right as I meet them all is, hey, your velo is probably going to drop. And you're going to get crushed in the fall because you're tired all the time. And I go, my velo is going to drop? Are you serious? I throw 82, 83. I can't be throwing 78. I was like, that cannot happen. And luckily for me, it didn't. But a lot of the right-handed pitchers, left-handed pitchers in the class, they go to throw. And they're all 88 to 90. Some of them were 90. And all of a sudden, the playing field is level for me. They're throwing 82, 83, 84. And I'm throwing 83, 85 now. All those couple days of getting crushed and feeling terrible, well, I must have put on some weight or something. I have no clue what's going on. I'm throwing the ball a little harder now. And, it didn't last long. It lasted for like a week or two. I guess it was just getting used to it, and I had more adrenaline pumping. And I settled back in like 82, 84. But so were they. So the fall went through. I got hit. I didn't get hit terribly hard. But I still remember, like, hey, I feel like I did a good job, but I still don't think that I'm going to be able to play my freshman year. I think I'm going to get redshirt. One of the main reasons I thought I was going to get redshirt was because the guy we were talking about earlier from my area, he went to his Division I school. He actually got redshirted that year. So I was thinking he's pretty good. I was like, dang, he's pretty good. I don't know how he got redshirted. So I was like, if he gets redshirted, I'm definitely getting redshirted. Well, the time comes for the red shirts to get passed out or whatever, and I didn't get one. And I was like, this is awesome. I'm going to play this year. Like, I have a chance of actually logging innings. So the season comes. We play in a tournament in UNCW in Wilmington. And Friday – yeah, great
place. Beautiful place, by the way.
It was 75, February 14th, and it's warm. And I'm like, this is awesome. Friday game goes, and I don't pitch, which is normal. Like, I didn't expect it. But another freshman in the pitch, who I thought at the time I was better than, he pitched. I was like, huh. And he did. And he shoved. And I was like, huh, I can do this. Like, in my head, I'm like, I can pitch now. I can pitch this. If he can do it, I can do it. Saturday comes. We have a doubleheader Saturday. First game, I don't pitch. Second game, I don't pitch. And I'm like, all right. I'm definitely pitching the Sunday game. There is no more arms. Sunday game comes. The starter goes 7 innings. He pitched phenomenal game. I hear, hey, Kent, get loose. You're going in the 8th. And we're losing. And I'm like, really? I'm going in? He's like, yeah, you're going in. You got like one out. Get loose. They told me late. And I was like, all right. So I'm just ripping fastballs, ripping them. And I go in. I punched the first two guys. I actually threw 3 balls to the first guy and then came back and punched them out. Second guy punched them out. Third guy hit a ground ball or a line drive back at me, and I caught it. And that was how my first outing went. And I was like, I can do this. And one of the guys charting that game came back and like, yo, Ken, you look good, man. I was like, thanks. I appreciate it. He's like, no, you're like 86, 87. I think he's like, you might have hit 88 once or twice. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? So I think something clicked in that game, and I just kind of went forward with it. So my next start was against UVA on a midweek. 2 days later, I started. It was on my birthday pretty much. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm facing number 14 UVA.
Yeah.
They had 2 people go number 5 overall in the draft, number 6 overall in the draft in 2017. And I didn't know that, we're still playing the 2017 season. But in my head, I don't really think nothing of it. I just know, all right, it's UVA. They won a national championship last year. Like, they're pretty good. And I go in and I throw 3 2/3 of perfect baseball and then give up a hit and they pull me. And I came back and I'm sitting down the bench and I struck out 3 guys. And one of the guys I struck out was one of those people that went in the first round and struck him out twice. And I sit down and our volunteer coach comes up and he's like, dude, you just struck out a lot of money. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, you just struck out a dude who's probably going to go top 10. And I was like, I don't even know what this means. So, like, I'm from a small town. I know what the draft is, but, like, okay, like, that's great, I guess. And everyone was telling me, dude, you did a great job. Like, I can't believe you pitched against the number blah, 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 blah. And then that's kind of when I was like, I can definitely do this. Like, something clicked where I was like, I can pitch. And then the next week we play ODU, and I don't record an out. I started the game. I don't record an out. I walked 4 people and hit a batter and threw 1 strike in 30 pitches. And I benched.
There's baseball for you, right? There's baseball.
What has just happened? I couldn't throw a strike. ODU was where my friend went, and I was talking crap to him. I was like, I'm gonna strike out everyone on your team. There's no way y'all are gonna hit me, blah blah blah. And then I learned real quick that I'm not as good as I thought. And then I get on another hot streak. So I threw like 25 innings of not getting up a run. And I didn't even know that until the season was done. Someone wrote about it. And I was like, wow, I actually did that. And towards the end of the year, I actually worked my way up I started 2 weekend series. One, I did the same thing. I gave up 7 runs and I recorded 1 out in the first inning. And then the other one, I went like 6 innings and pitched pretty well. Well, my ERA was like 8 at the end of the season because I had so many – I had really good outings and really bad outings, nothing in the middle. So my ERA was like an 8, and I was like, I didn't really know what ERA was, and I started figuring it out, and I was like, that's terrible. And I thought, and then we have end of the year meetings, and I'm thinking, oh man, I'm gonna get blown up. I suck this year. And my meeting sits down, and they go, yeah, Zach, you look pretty good. You have a chance of getting in the starting rotation next year. You know, we're looking forward to seeing you back in the fall. And I go, cool. Well, I come back in the fall, and I won a starting job on the weekend, and I pitched that whole season. Still didn't have a good ERA, but I started striking out guys more, and my walks went down. And then that's when I kind of started hearing about my name, maybe getting drafted, blah, 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 and come home in the summer of my sophomore year. And I remember this conversation clear as day between me and you, Harold. And you go, what do you want to prepare for going into your junior season? And I said, the draft. And you looked at me and you said, all right, let's do it. And that was like that at that time I made a decision in my mind that I was going to get drafted my junior year. And about a month later, I hurt my arm. And I was like, oh, man. So that wasn't very fun. You know, Harold, you know, we can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So let me stop you real quick. Okay. So I want to ask you a similar question to what I asked you back at Northumberland, back early in the show. You had an ace on staff, a legitimate ace on the staff there, your sophomore year. And I want to ask you, yeah, and you got to see that whole process play out with him in the draft. So how did that help prepare you? Or did that help make you think, okay, if he did this, yeah, I'm definitely next? Just answer that, then we'll talk about that whole injury.
He was a year ahead of me. My freshman year, he had just – one of the craziest seasons I've ever watched playing baseball. His sophomore year, he was going 9 innings, 8 innings, 9 innings. He was throwing complete games. He was going so deep in games and just striking out everyone and throwing like 90, 93. And I was like, dude, this guy is good. And he's a sophomore. And I'm like, all right, I'm watching him. And I have like no clue how he's doing this because and he didn't walk anyone. So he was a legitimate, like, unbelievable. And I just kind of watched him and try to learn from him, but I never really he's my teammate, I talked to him, but I never really sat down and had conversations with him about baseball. So leading into my sophomore year, he's a junior, it's his draft year, all the hype's around him, and he goes out and pitches, and he for some reason he just kept getting sick that season, so he was never on a good like routine and schedule. So I saw him struggle. And watching him struggle was probably the best thing that I saw at in my sophomore year, because I was actually pitching well, and I saw and he was struggling, and I was able to see how he dealt with that adversity. And he just wore it on the chin, you know. He would still go out there every game, and he wasn't going out there saying, you know, my junior year's over, like I'm not going to get drafted. He just went out there and he was just pounding the ball, and at the time, my sophomore year, I didn't realize what he was doing. I kind of saw it and I thought about it. I was like, I don't know how he keeps going out there, because he's getting shelled sometimes. And then all of a sudden, about 3/4 way through the season, he's healthy. He's not getting sick, and he's just dominating again. He's looking unbelievable. He's 93, 95, just back to where he was, and he looked really good. And then I had a conversation with him, because we were basically the two people on the staff that were – our starters. The Sunday guy, he had never started before. He was a senior. He just kind of ate up innings and helped out. He was just like kind of like piggybacking Sunday games. And talked to him, was like, hey man, like how do you do it like that? Like, how can you keep going in and out? He's like, dude, like you got to keep going out there, because there's no one, like we don't have anyone else. Like, you got to do it yourself. And I was like, huh. I was like, I never thought about that. I thought just, you know, I get my 5 innings, I'm struggling, I'll let someone else come and finish up my inning, and then they might come in and give up the runs. So that was at the end of the year, and then he ends up getting drafted in the 7th round with the Twins, and he left VMI. And then that left the Friday guy role open, and I thought it was going to be – I thought for sure I was going to have it. So then my exit meeting my sophomore year did not go well, and I was not well at all.
Yeah, did not go as planned, huh?
I just felt terrible about myself. I was told that I wasn't.
Yeah. So look, I'm gonna interrupt. I know that you and I stayed in close communication throughout the whole time you were in college, right? So I know how you were feeling at the time, right? And you took that pretty hard. And going back to what you just said about the picture you saw before, like just to keep on taking things on the chin and rolling with it, right? And then that whole progression there, right? I want you to really think about it at this moment and think about, like, okay, you know what? It wasn't what I wanted to hear. It wasn't what I expected to hear. But how vital was that for you to hear going forward?
I really
think
that conversation that I had with the head coach was the turning point in my mentality. I just became – and I tried to be unbreakable. I was on the mound and I'm going, and when I start a game, I'm finishing the game. Like I took it really personal, and you could say my feelings were hurt, and I wanted to do everything to show him that I was a completely different person leading into my junior year, and that I could be trusted. You can give me the ball every Friday and I'd go out there and give you 9 innings.
Oh. Yeah, that's awesome. I remember our conversations very well around that time, right? So then you get back home, you come in, we have the conversation you just talked about. And then so you were always someone who worked extremely hard, right? That's something that separated you from a lot of guys. I tell everybody this, almost in every class I had, like high school kids, right? There was always that one guy with the it factor. I mean, you were by far the guy that had the it factor from that class. And probably the person that has trained in there that has the it factor more than anyone, right? It's just a nonstop work. Like, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do to get to accomplish it. And I'm going to work my rear end off to get there, right? And you've been
the
epitome of that, right?
Yeah, it's not – I saw where I wanted to be. And, you know, you hear all the time, you know, you hear about, like, Michael Jordan, Peyton Manning, how they – you know, they had to work really hard to get where they were at. Like, I wasn't given a 95 mile an hour arm. I had to create a 95 mile an hour arm. I wasn't given like really clean mechanics, but I had to work really hard to get it as clean as I can. So I took that. I knew I had to work really hard and be very I had to be a student of the game to be able to get where I wanted.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, Zach. I do want to talk about something here a little bit different, I guess you'd say. So we had that conversation.
Yeah.
You started working like crazy, right? You said, this is what I want to do. All right, perfect. Let's get after it. So now we go through that process, and you did have that little setback there right at the end of summer training, right? So you get back on campus. You have to sit out for a little bit, right, while you let the injury heal, right? So what we had to do, right, we had to make a push velocity, right? So we were all like selling out somewhat, right, for velocity, and it came with a price where you got a minor injury, nothing crazy, just a minor injury that set you back a little bit. So now we make that transition. You worked your end off. Velocity is kind of increasing. It's not quite where you want it to be yet, of course. Yeah. It's never really where you want it to be, right? But it's not quite right there yet. But then we get back. You're healthy. And now the season takes off, Zach. And of course, I followed you throughout this whole thing. But there was a game early in that year. Y'all were playing Clemson. And I remember watching it live. And that was the day for me. So you were, I think y'all had a few weekends prior to Clemson. Maybe just one.
I didn't pitch very well.
1 weekend prior to Clemson. You didn't pitch very well. But I think you had a decent amount of strikeouts in that game, right?
The first game of the season, I only had 3.
Yeah.
So in the early spring, I was watching everyone, and I was like, this is my season. Like, I'm throwing 90, 92 in those outings in the winter at VMI. And I'm like, all right, like, I'm punching out everyone. Like, I'm going to do it. I come out in that game, I'm talking a lot of crap, and I don't even think I got over 88, and I've only punched out 3. And I was like, oh, my goodness. You know, one of those things. But
right. So Zach, you go into that Clemson game, and I'm watching this thing live on the computer, and I remember just sitting back watching you, and I was actually really nervous for you, because I thought that was like, hey, look, this is his coming out party. If he's going to do it, like, do it big, this is the game. I didn't want to ever tell you that leading up to that, but I was pretty nervous for you. And you go out, and you have a pretty clean first inning. You have a pretty clean second inning, and it keeps progressing. And I think you ended up throwing around 5 in that game, and you punched out like 7 or 8, if I remember correctly. I remember just some nasty stuff on the TV, and the announcers kept replaying some of the strikeouts. And I was just thinking to myself, oh, my goodness, like, this is now within reach for Zach. Like, and then from there, it was almost like that was the game you needed to say, you know what? I can absolutely do this. And then the rest of that season was just keeping a chart of Zach's strikeouts, just watching that list go up and up and up. And I remember sitting there and I'm like, gosh, man, Zach's going to be in a position here. If he keeps this up, he's going to go down in BMI's record books, right? Like, this is a kid that only had one Division I offer coming out of high school. And now he's about to be in the record books, right? And then it just keeps on progressing. I'm like, gosh, he's starting to climb up there, right? Every week I'm keeping a tally. Like, I'm looking up Division I strikeout leaders. And your name is right there. And I'm watching you climb up the career list. And I'm thinking, gosh, he's not just going to get on this list.
Yeah.
He's got a chance to finish around 5th. And then the season keeps coming and you keep progressing. I'm like, oh, my goodness. He's not going to finish 5th. He's going to probably finish 4th. And then you keep on racking up the strikeouts. Keep on. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Zach's going to end up in 3 years. 3rd on the all-time list. And then, like we talked about in the intro, you ended up like the all-time single season strikeout record for BMI, and 7th in the entire country. So I want you to think about that, right? And think about what that means to you looking back, the fact that you were 7th in the entire country in Division I baseball for strikeouts that year. Like, think about the whole journey from Northumberland to being 7th in the entire country in NCAA Division I baseball and strikeouts.
One thing I knew I could always do was I could always strike a batter out. I did it at Northumberland. I had the strikeouts. I had the most strikeouts in the season for them. And then when I got to VMI, I just needed to get mature enough for Division I baseball to do it and get that, you know, a little bit of velo help too. But I remember at the going into the last game, the last weekend of the regular season, I was 2nd in the nation in strikeouts, and I was like, holy crap. Like, I have a chance of getting first. First was Noah Song. And he had like 20 more, but I was like, "There's no way." Navy,
and I was at Navy, no right?
That I can get 20 strikeouts in this game, and then I end up leaving that game, and I punched out 3 in like 2 innings or something like that. But I was kind of let down. Like, I was kind of let down that I didn't give. Yeah, I wasn't able to go give my all in my last like regular season start to try to get to number 1, but.
Right. So I probably should mention that. The 7th in the country is a little misleading because I believe when the season ended, you were second, and then the playoffs happened, and y'all were not really – you were part of your conference tournament, but you didn't
–
you only pitched once in the conference tournament, correct? Yeah, and so you didn't get a chance to go to regionals, super regionals, and that's when everybody passed you the College World Series. So we have to be a little bit fair. Let's go back to third. The end of the season, and you were second in the country in strikeouts. Third? Right, so you got passed on your last day. That's right. I apologize. Obviously, this is a really cool story, Zach. I do want to ask you this. So we're leading up. You have this phenomenal junior year. You're an all-conference pitcher that year. And now it's time for the draft. Mm. So I want to ask you about draft day. Okay, I want you to run me through that experience.
I had an advisor that I was talking to, and I had a very real conversation with the head coach the day before, or like 2 days before the draft. And he basically told me, he was like, "Hey Zach, you're probably gonna get drafted, but I can't really tell you where. I've heard teams will take you up as early as the third round. I've heard some teams that are thinking you're more like a 10 to 15 round, and there's some teams that are sold on you." So he's like, "I couldn't tell you where you're gonna go or who got the best interest in you." And I filled out like a lot of questionnaires and stuff like that. So I had an idea I was gonna get drafted, but my mind still never would wrap around like, "You're gonna get drafted, Zach." And so I was sitting there and I was watching the draft on day one. I knew I wasn't going day one. I just wanted to see what names I knew, like strikeout record people or people that had the most strikeouts in the country. And I was like, you know, when the names start going in the middle of the list, that's probably when I'll probably go. So day one goes through, the first and second round is day one, and then day two starts. And I just had a gut feeling. Like, I'm going this day. I have a feeling I'm going this day. And like the fifth round comes, and a guy from Mercer gets drafted. I don't even remember his name. I didn't even know he was drafted. Like, I didn't know anything about him. Like, I knew most of the people that were good in the conference, but I didn't know who that guy was. And he got drafted in the fifth round. And I was like, "Oh, I'm going any minute." In the sixth round, seventh round, eighth round, and then by the ninth round, I was like, "I ain't watching this no more." Like, I've seen four other people that had more strikeouts than him, better ERA and all this other stuff. And I was just comparing myself to them. And I was like, "How have I not gone yet?" So I thought I wasn't going to get drafted. I said, if I can get drafted now, I'm not getting drafted later. So I kind of leave. I'm at my grandma's. I kind of leave the room a little bit. I go to the bathroom. I come back down. I sit down. And I'm just playing on my phone. And the fifth pick comes in the ninth round or something like that. And they say, "Yeah, Texas Rangers select right-hand pitcher out of VMI, Zach Kent." And I'm just sitting there. I don't think nothing of it. And my mom goes, "Zach, you just got drafted." And I said, "What?" And then I get a phone call, and they're saying, "Yep, you know, we just picked you with the 265th pick in the 2019 draft." It's like, "Welcome to the Texas Rangers." And I was like, and I just started like, I put my hand in my head. So I was like, "I don't even know how I did this. Like, this is unbelievable." And, the rest is history, kind of.
Yeah, well, Zach, that is an absolutely wonderful story, man. I remember listening to it well. I was following right along with you. I just remember being absolutely ecstatic for you when your name came across. For those that don't know, Zach was the first player that I have worked with that was drafted. There were two others that year, but Zach was the first name called. So I was pretty pumped for Zach at the time. So Zach, I want you to, we're going to wrap this up here, but I want two more things from you. I need to know where you currently are in your development. Tell everybody. So you played, but really you've only got to play one year, and then 1 year got cut short last year due to COVID. But tell everybody where you are in your development. And then I want you to just talk to any younger listeners that might be listening about some advice you might have for them if they aspire to do what you're doing now.
I'm going into my third season with the Rangers, second full season. I do not know where I'll be at because I haven't played a full season yet. But developmentally, I'm trying to throw 100 miles an hour now.
There you go.
And
you were up to, I believe, this past year in Instructs, you were up 96. To 95 or 96. Is that correct?
Around 93, yes.
There you go. Throwing flames.
I got that. And then things I got for younger kids is it doesn't really matter where you are or what your background is. There's always going to be a time and place for you to show what you got. You just got to be able to prepare yourself to be in that moment. And I would say for a young kid, especially like if you're in high school, like recognize your moments, because I definitely recognized when I had an opportunity. I knew that I wasn't going to let anything happen. I wasn't going to let myself down. So, if you want to play college baseball, or even if you want to make your high school team, when you got to that practice, you know, someone's going to be watching you. You want to be able to be prepared enough and feel good about yourself going into that. You shouldn't be, at least you shouldn't be necessarily really nervous. You should have some nervousness behind it, but you should always be confident in yourself, because all it takes is that one chance to spark something, because it did for me. It just happened to be I was the last pitcher throwing on a Saturday in July, and VMI just happened to have someone there watching me, and they took a chance, and that's all I needed. I just needed an opportunity. Same thing, the Rangers took a chance on me, and I'm going to use it to the best of my ability. So just be prepared and be ready when the time comes, because you're only going to get probably one chance.
Well, Zach, again, awesome stuff.
And
that'll do it for this episode.
Yeah,
greatly appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks for watching the Mazingo Baseball Podcast. Need y'all to do me a favor. Go follow me on my social media accounts. It's going to be Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And all of them are going to be at Mazingo Baseball. That's at Mazingo Baseball, okay? Go out and check out the website, MazingoBaseball.com, and do me a huge favor and check out the e-guide I wrote called Young Guns. You won't be disappointed. It's all about developing youth baseball pitchers, and we cover almost everything in there. It comes with supplemental video content. I think right now we're at about 50 videos strong and still adding on to that, okay? You don't want to miss out on that. All right, so go check those things out.